Well, we're continuing on in our series of Tall Law by Steve Currington, and the whole idea of it is in trying hard to do better isn't good enough. It's principles of biblical behavior modification. And so we've been going through the last little while of just understanding we have God's Word, and God wants to use it to help us, to guide us, to transform us, but we have to kind of understand how it works in terms of developing our relationship with God. And so, we want to kind of understand, and we've looked at this a bit, that it's, we need to read our Bibles, that's important, but, we want to understand is that that's we're getting information, right? But if we want to develop a relation with Him, we don't just read our Bible, we want to study our Bible. And so what happens is as we read it, God usually will kind of prompt us and kind of draw our attention to a certain verse and speak to us from that verse. And what we need to do is stop and take some time to study it. But that's not all that we want to do. And so tonight we're going to look at memorizing, and memorizing is in terms of your mental health is actually a very good thing, very profitable in different ways. But we want to understand in terms of developing a relationship with God, it is more informational than relational. And so it's a necessary process. But we don't want to stop there, because it's kind of, we've kind of done it, tried to draw an analogy this way, that it's God's Word is fuel that can burn in our hearts, that can warm us from the inside out, and really transform us, right? From being cold-hearted and not being what we want to becoming warm-hearted and being the people we desire to be. And so, if we're reading God's Word, it's basically like we've gone out in the woods and we've cut down a bunch of logs, and we've brought it into our backyard and dumped it in our backyard. And so that's good, but we don't want to just have this big pile of logs that we can't use, right? And so, studying is essentially where we take those logs, we cut them into rounds, and we split them and stack them and have them so they're ready to be used. But of course, if we just have this nice stack that we just look at and we never do anything with it, we just want to kind of show off how big of a stack of wood we have, that's not actually going to help us. Our house is still going to be cold. And so memorizing, in a way, is when we bring that wood into the house and we stack it in our firebox so it is ready to be used. But of course, we don't just want to have it sit there and look at it and say, oh, look at the wood that I have that could be useful. No, it's the whole idea is that we have to get it into the fire, and that's what's going to warm our house. And so that's really what the meditation part of it is. And so they're all necessary, but we want to understand with each of them is like the whole point is we've got to get to that meditation where we're actually using it, and that's when it really makes a difference in our life. And so we want to really kind of consider that tonight. And so we want to understand is that when God's Word refers to our heart, we want to understand what that means. That we have in the Scriptures, we understand it talks about our inner man as believers, that it's where God's mind and emotions dwell in the form of the Holy Spirit. But there's also our outer man, and that's where our own mind, will, and emotions dwell. And so the heart is the trigger between these two entities, the spiritual and the carnal. And we have to, depending on where our heart is how it's going to respond. It's either going to respond spiritually in a situation with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, or it's going to go the other way and respond with self-love, with frustration, with worry, with discord, with doubt, with impatience and harshness to other people. And so the heart is what determines which switch will get tripped in our circumstance. And so it's attached to our soul and our spirit, and it affects all three parts of our soul. And so all three parts of our soul are mind, will, and emotions. We looked at this a bit this morning, that we consist of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And our body is usually all that we think about. We're a body with kind of a soul inside of it. But we want to understand it a different way, that we're a soul that lives forever, and our body is the shell in which that soul resides, in which it functions in this world. And so the heart, we of course we think of it as the in the context of our emotions. We think of it as a symbol for Valentine's Day. We think of when we fall in love, we give our heart to someone else. But we want to understand what the heart, how the heart works. And of course, the heart is what determines which switch will get tripped in any given circumstance, depending on how we respond to different things. It's as we think in our hearts, so is he. And so that's what we want to understand. Yes, the heart is in the context of our emotions, but it also affects our mind, our thinking. As we think in our hearts, so are we. And so you can think of our heart in a sense as being the emotional center of us, and that does affect our thinking. And our heart is really what where we dwell upon things in our minds. And so we also understand that our heart affects our will, that how we're feeling, how we're thinking, that affects what we're going to decide. And so we think with Pharaoh that his heart was hardened. And so his will was determined not to submit to God's requests and commands through his messenger Moses. That his just attitude was, no, I'm not going to listen. I'm Pharaoh, and I don't need to bow to anyone. And of course, that ended very badly for him. And so, when we're faced with certain decisions, we have a choice. And so we can yield to our soul's thinking, or we can yield to the mind of Christ. We can yield to our soul's stubborn will, or we can yield to the will of God. And we can respond with a fleshly emotion. And so we think of that, of being frustrated, of losing our temper, being harsh, being mean to people, sowing discord. Or we can respond in an emotion of the Spirit, where we think of joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, where we're not causing friction, we're not sowing discord, we're not stirring the pot or basically exacerbating the situation. We learn to respond positively. And so, the bottom line is that we can yield to what we think, feel, or want in our outer man, or we can yield to what God thinks, feels, or wants in our inner man. And that's what we have to decide, that our heart is a trigger. And it's always the thing is, and that's kind of the principle we have. First principle of RU is that thought of God's for it, so am I. That we have to learn to agree with God, because we can have what we want to do, but if it's not the same as what God wants, we know, okay, which is going to be better for me? Is my way or God's way? And a lot of times we pick our way and it ends up going very badly. When we pick God's way, we know, okay, this is what's best for me. He's not my enemy. He's trying to help me, trying to keep me out of a lot of trouble. And so we see in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And so this verse teaches the importance of protecting our trigger, the heart, at all times. And so the phrase, "the issues of life," that refers to the circumstances that we face and the decisions that we make, that they come from the heart. And so when we protect our trigger and we condition it with Scripture, then what will happen is it'll flip the switch to respond in the spirit to life's trials. But if we leave our heart unprotected and it becomes hardened by sin, then we flip the switch toward our own thoughts and desires and emotions rather than God's. And so we want to understand how that works. And so it's the idea then that the Bible shows us the importance of memorizing God's word, because when you memorize the Bible, it's hidden in your trigger, it's hidden in your heart. And this keeps you from acting after the flesh, that you have that information there that you can dwell upon that'll lead you in the right way. It keeps you from acting after the flesh. As Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And Deuteronomy 11 verse 8 reminds us of the importance of memorizing God's word. And it says, "Therefore shall ye lay up my words in your heart." Your heart is, of course, our inner trigger of passions, in your soul, your mind, will, emotions, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And it's kind of interesting because for the Jewish people, they took this very literally and almost too literally, because what happened is they actually put these boxes with scripture in them, and they put them on their heads, and so it was like as frontlets on their eyes. They had it as bands on their arms, and they kind of missed the picture of it. The whole idea was is that it would be very near to them, and that they would be remembering the scripture, that it would lead them and it would help and guide them. You got a question, Amy? Thoughts, desires, and emotions rather than God's. Yeah. And so we want to understand that it's not like we have a box with scripture in it that we remember that it's there. The idea of it is more that we have scripture that's in front of us that we can remind, and having it in our minds memorized can be very profitable in that way. And so we want to understand that God wants us to keep his words forever before us. And really it's the idea of it that when we read God's word, and then the Lord kind of draws our attention to a certain verse or a certain phrase, we study it out, we dissect it, we define it, we rewrite it, we kind of bring it down to our level so we can understand it. Then we decide to memorize it. And then, of course, in our journals, we have those little daily cards that we can take out that you can put down a verse to memorize and to meditate on. And we don't have to memorize entire verses word for word in order to meditate on it, right? We want to make sure that we have it down accurately, that we're not misunderstanding the verse and what it's trying to say. But we want to just take these verses that stick out. God has given it to us for a reason. It can help us with the difficulty we might be going through in that day. And so we can learn from that. And so it can be very helpful in that way. And so, did everybody get everything on this page? Okay. So is there some helpful hints for memorizing God's word? And so we can do that. We can take the verses that end up sticking out. We can write them down, paraphrase them in our daily journals. And then we can reduce the paraphrases to bullet points, where just some specific things for the day that we want to remember. And we can memorize those points either by saying them 3 to 5 times, or we can memorize them part or all of the verse itself. And so it's there's a lot of different things for that. It's a profitable mental exercise in a lot of ways, and just getting in the habit of memorizing. It's actually kind of the thing is like, it's just like with when you're learning math. If you memorize your times table, it allows you to do it very quickly, right? Because it is part of your memory. It actually frees up your mind for a lot of other things. And so you wanna lock that in to your mind as much as you can. And so it's the idea that you can take out a card, like the med cards that are in the journal, and you can use that to write down the truths that God's prompting you to learn. And so you can carry these throughout the day, and just think about them, and just try to refer to them throughout the day. It just helps you to really get it in your mind, have it there so that it's ready for use. And of course, it's something you always think about, that in times past when Christians were persecuted, sometimes the Bible was actually made illegal, where people could not read it. What a lot of people, Christians, end up doing was memorizing Scripture, and that's something that they could take their Bible away, but if they had it in their heart, had it in their mind, memorized it, they couldn't take that away from them. And so it's a valuable thing. We don't know if that'll ever happen in Canada. Hopefully not, but it is good to have that and commit it to memory. And so we want to understand, though, that with memorization, it is integral to understanding how to hide Christ in your heart. And it's just committing small, large parts of the Bible to memory is not going to give you the key yet to overcoming sinful temptation. You're getting there, but there is that one more step. And so we want to be careful with this, because it's kind of the thing. Sometimes when we're just taking in knowledge, what does it say? Knowledge puffs up, right? And we can sometimes try to impress people with, say, how much we've read or how much we've memorized, and it's not that the time was wasted, but if we're doing it just to impress people, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. And we're doing it because this is useful. This is life to us. That God's Word imparts life to us. It can transform our life if we apply it, and it becomes part of our life. And so we want to realize is that we're preparing ourselves for battle, that God's really giving us verses in Scripture that we can use in the different challenges of life. But we want to understand that memorization is not an end in itself. It is the means to an end. And so we don't want to miss that. And so we want to understand, in a way, what memorization does not do for us. Okay? And so memorizing a bunch of verses does not keep us from sinning. It says in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might sin not against thee." And just memorizing God's word doesn't put it in our hearts in that sense. It puts us in our brain, right? It's in our mind, it's in our long-term memory, which is good. And we increase the information that we have, and that's good, but information does not develop your personal relationship with God. It's only the fuel to do that. And so it's the thing is that we can memorize a lot about things about God, but if we don't use them during the circumstances of life, they're not going to help us. And so it's a sense, if we're out from under the Spirit's leading, having memorized Scripture is not going to help us overcome temptation. That any discipline we have in that sense will be self-discipline and not God-pleasing spirit discipline. And so when God says to hide God's word in our hearts, we want to understand that, what that means. And so it's the sense that we memorize in our heads and we meditate in our hearts. And the Bible talks about in Psalm 19:14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And so we memorize in our heads, but we meditate in our hearts. And so memorization is done in our mind, meditation is done in the trigger, in the heart. And we find that this is the most important crucible. If we hide God's word in our heart, that's done in our meditator, not in our memorizer. Okay? And so acquiring information only helps if we're dwelling on that information. That's what's going to affect the change in us. That's what's going to help us develop that relationship that'll give us victory over bad habits and other things. And so we want to dwell on the information we find about God. That will develop our personal relationship with God. And so we want to understand that as we spend time in God's Word, first reading it, but then studying, and then memorizing, and then meditating, that what God is doing for us as we do that is preparing us for battle every day. He's giving us each morning the truths that we're going to need so that the challenges that we're going to face, that we'll be ready. That he'll just give us, whether it's peace or direction or comfort or guidance, that he'll have that for us as we seek him each morning. And so Bible memorization places this weapon, the sword of the Spirit, as it talks about in Ephesians, in our mind, just as a sword is placed in a sheath. And again, kind of with the other analogy we had, that it puts the firewood right next to the fireplace so it's ready to be used. Right? And so it's the idea that with the truth sheathed in my mind, I'm prepared to meditate on it throughout the day in my heart. And so my heart needs to be under the influence and control of my spirit and not my soul. Because when my soul controls my heart, it is desperately wicked. But when my spirit controls my heart, it is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And so if we just memorize Scripture without dwelling on the Word, then what happens is that we haven't hid it in our heart. And it's good to have things stored in our memory, and you can't find anything better than the Bible to have stored in our memory, but only what we use becomes useful. And it's kind of the thing, if you could have like a sword strapped to your side, but you never pull out of your sheath, it's not going to help you very much in battle, right? And it's the same. If you have a big stack of firewood next to your fireplace, but you never actually throw it in the fireplace, it's not going to do any good either. And so we've got to use what we have learned. We acquire information through memorization, but then we have to meditate upon it, and so then we can apply it. And then when we do that, then that's when we find when we don't sin against the Lord, when we instead of doing what's wrong, what's harmful to ourselves and others, we start doing what's right. We make good decisions. And so it's that thought that the truths that are tucked away in our meditator, in our hearts, from the promptings during our reading, become proof of our personal relationship with God throughout the day. So moment by moment, when we have difficult circumstances arrive, and we always have difficult things that happen, and we always want to have a perfect day where nothing goes wrong, but we always end up having things that challenge us, and we need to learn how to respond to them. That it's kind of the thing, we realize that each morning is God shares something in God's Word with us, that we find, hey, this is just what I need for today. And so then that helps us to then follow what God says for us to do and have a Spirit-led action and reaction rather than acting in the flesh. And so as we learn to do that each day, it's a very incredible tool for building confidence in our relationship with God, because we realize He knew what was coming, He gave me what I needed for the day, that in that moment I could use that truth, apply it to my life. It would give me the direction I needed so I would not succumb to temptation once again. Instead, I could have victory. And so if you find that, then you say, okay, well, let's see what will happen this next day. And so we we go looking again and we see, okay, he's given me this, I don't know what's going to happen, but he must have been giving it to me for a reason. And then we go through the day and we find out, oh, yeah, this is a situation I'm in. This verse that he gave me applies. This is how I can respond, and I can have victory again. And so it's each time we see him providing a prompting truth in the morning that sustains our walk with him during the day, that our faith in the Lord, our fear of the Lord will grow. And so it will make us more willing to yield to the Spirit, and we'll enjoy a Spirit-filled life as a result. And this won't happen if we don't ever get to that point of actually dwelling upon and meditating upon God's Word. And so we want to think of that, the preparation for the day that leads us to victory in the Christian life. And so it's that principle. We must read so that we can study. We must study so that we can memorize. We must memorize so that we can engage in the final and most important purpose of the Bible, and that's meditation. And so that's what we're going to be looking at next week, is the whole principle of biblical meditation. And so, so we just have a few kind of study questions as we conclude. So you can best understand the word heart by pictured equally attached to both our soul and spirit. The heart affects all three parts of our soul. So what are the three parts of our soul that the heart affects? Mind, will, emotion. That's correct. Alright. In Proverbs 4:23 it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So can you dissect that verse? What does that mean, essentially? Specifically, think of the idea of issues of life. What does that phrase mean? Yeah, well, it's definitely to keep your heart. Keep is like to guard, to protect. And the reason why is because out of it are the issues of life. That how we respond to the challenges of life and the person that what we're going to say and the person we're going to become is based on what our heart is dwelling upon. So we want to be very careful in that. And then Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So what does God mean when he tells us to hide his word in our hearts that we might not sin? Is he talking about memorization when he's hiding God's words in our heart? No, he's talking about meditation, right? And so that's what we really want to understand and get to. And so that will be next week's lesson on that. And so certainly if you can make it next week, I'm sure it'll be a help to you. All right, so any thoughts or questions before we conclude? No? All right, well, let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time. We thank you for your word and that it is quick and powerful, Lord, that it is life-giving to us as we make it part of our lives, that it keeps us from sin and from defeat and can lead us to victory. We just pray you would help us to learn to value your word, to realize how you want to use it each day to help us. Just pray, Lord, that we might just truly understand what it means to have a relationship with you and how we can develop that through the truth of your word. Just guide us through this week to come. And just strengthen us for the challenges we will face. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.